Turn again to the book of Ezekiel. Today, let's go to chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 12 through the end of the chapter. But let me just say a few words as to the two previous messages that I have brought in the last 2 weeks from this book. In the first message from chapter 1, I tried to emphasize the fact that God provided for His people. His people, that is the nation of Israel, they were in captivity, and so God raised up Ezekiel to minister unto them, raised him up as a prophet. You remember the difference between a prophet and a priest. A prophet comes from God to the people. A priest goes to God from the people. As the mediator of the everlasting covenant, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is prophet, priest, and also king. Ezekiel was born a priest. He was in the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron. He was made a prophet. He never was a king. But the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, He is prophet, priest, and king. Let me show you this, if you will. Look with me in Hebrews. Keep your place here in Ezekiel. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the very beginning of this letter, the Apostle Paul brings this truth out. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You see, He's a prophet. God spoke to us by or in His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He's the priest. The priest offers that one sacrifice that puts away the sins of God's people. And also, we see that He is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, that He is upon the throne as the God-man, reigning until His enemies are made His footstool. And then last week, we saw how God prepared Ezekiel. So first of all, God provided, and God always will provide for His people. He provided a prophet. That's what they needed. They were in captivity. They needed a message from God. And that's what men need today. That's what you need. That's what all of us need. We all need to hear from God, a message from God. And so the greatest need of God's people in Babylon at that time was a man sent from God that had the word of God, the message of God. And then last week we saw how that God prepared Ezekiel to be a prophet by declaring certain things in his hearing. Now today we're looking at a passage in which God gives Ezekiel His charge. Look in verse 17. Here's the charge that God gives Ezekiel. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now here's the charge. This is it, Ezekiel. This is what I'm charging you to do. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. That's the charge. You know, it's customary today, and has been in my lifetime at least, when a church ordains a man to be their pastor, that usually there's two messages preached in the ordination service, sometimes only one, but in the messages, there are two charges. The first charge is to the pastor, the man who's being set apart to the office of a pastor. There's a charge given to him, and many times it's taken from the verse in 2 Timothy, preach the word. This is the charge. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then there is a second charge normally given to the church, over which the man is being set apart to be a pastor. And many times the charge to the church is taken from these words in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So two charges, to the pastor, to the preacher, preach the word, and to the church, to obey them that have the rule over you. And the reason being is because the pastor watches for your soul. Now, in the verses we're looking at today, we're going to see Ezekiel in two locations. And so as I read through these verses, I thought, well, that's the best I can do as to my message, dividing it into two parts. What took place with Ezekiel in the first location, and then what takes place in the second location. First, the location of Tel Abib. Tel Abib. Notice that in verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib. Now, this is the only time that this place is named in the Bible. But we know that it was by the river Chebar, which is about 200 miles from Babylon. They were in captivity in the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon, but Babylon was the capital of the country. Daniel, we know he was in captivity. He was actually in Babylon, and he ministered to the kings there. But the bulk of these Jews who were taken into captivity were evidently at this place called Tel Abib. It was on the river Chebar. Ezekiel was carried there, lifted up, the scripture says. Lifted up by the Spirit from the place where he was when he saw the vision. In chapter 1, remember, he saw the vision of the likeness of the glory of God, that man who is sitting upon the throne. And as I said, and you know this is so, that was one of those many pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ before he actually came into this world as a man. He appeared many times in the Old Testament as a man, pre-incarnate, before he became a man. He appeared as a man several times. And that's who Elijah saw upon the throne. Now he's picked up, the scripture here says, let's read in verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing. What I want to see is four things that took place when Ezekiel is here at Tel Abib, or either coming to Tel Abib or at Tel Abib. There are four things I want to point out. First of all, he heard a voice and the noise of the wings of the living creatures. Verse 12 and 13. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. What do we make of this? Well, what I see here is that God testified to Ezekiel by what he heard, that is the voice and the rushing of the wings. What he heard, God testified to him that he was going with him. That God was going with Ezekiel. He wasn't just sending him out by himself. And this, of course, reminds us in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his apostles after his resurrection. He sent them into all the world to make disciples of all nations. And then he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." The Lord Jesus Christ is with those he sends out to preach. And Ezekiel is transported from where he saw the vision to Tel Aviv, where he's going to minister to these people. And God is witnessing and testifying to him in this way, "I'll be with you. I'm going with you." You know, we love that passage in Isaiah 43. Let me turn back there just a moment. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 and 2. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now notice, when thou passest through the waters..." You're going to go through the waters. Ezekiel, you're going to go through the waters. But God is testifying to his prophet in this way, that where he sent him, he was going with him. He would always have God's presence with him. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Now, some of you have gone through some waters. Some of you have gone through some deep waters. I've watched people in this congregation over the last 40 years go through a number of different things. But I can say this. This word is so. That when God put his people through the waters, he went with them. He was with them. And I've seen them come out on the other side praising God. And thanking God that they had such a hope, such a foundation. Otherwise, as the psalmist said, "I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Ezekiel, I'm sending you to Tel Aviv, but I'm going with you. And what a blessing it is to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, after 2,000 plus years, we still have his promise, because this age has not ended. One of these days, it's going to end. But so far, we're still in this last age, this dispensation, and Christ is with us. He's with those who preach the word, who take the word. Not only pastors, but all who minister the word of God. Now notice the second thing we see here. He went in bitterness and the heat of his spirit. Verse 14. "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness." You notice in the margin, bitter. In the heat, hot anger. Ezekiel, he went in bitterness and the heat of his spirit. Bitterness and hot anger. Now you say, "Well, that's kind of strange, isn't it?" Well, remember this. Ezekiel had seen and eaten the roll, not literally, but spiritually. We saw that last time. And we saw what was written concerning Israel on that roll. And it was lamentations, mourning, and woe. He also had heard this from God. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear you. Notice that back in verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. They're not going to listen to you, Ezekiel. They're not going to heed your warning. They will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. No wonder we read that he went in bitterness and hot anger. How unlike today those of us that God sends to preach the gospel. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples, he sent us out with this assurance. Some are going to believe. Some are going to listen. Some are going to hear. Not everyone. But God has his people. God has his people who he has loved with an everlasting love. His people whom he chose in the Lord Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. His people whom he redeemed by his precious blood on the cross. We don't need to go in hot anger or bitterness because we know that some are going to hear. Some are going to believe. We don't go in our own strength and our own power. But we know God has his people in this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ said all, A-L-L. No one's missing. I love this, don't you? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They will. They will. Well, he told Ezekiel, they're not going to hear you. They won't hear me. They're not going to listen to you. But today we go forth preaching the gospel with this assurance. Some are going to hear. Some are going to believe. And usually the most unlikely people. The most unlikely people that we would ever imagine hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Here's the third thing that I point out to us. Ezekiel identified with the captives. Notice that in verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. He identified with the captives. He was a captive himself. And he witnessed firsthand their deplorable condition as a nation. They were dejected. They were mournful. Remember in one of the messages we looked at that psalm, where we are told that they had hung their harps upon the willows, and their captors demanded of them one of the hymns, one of the songs of Zion. They couldn't sing. He looked, he sat with them, he identified with them. And you notice, sitting in the scripture is a way of showing grief. One of the ways in the Word of God that men showed their grief, they sat with a person. And 7 days, of course, is the number of completion. When Job, when he had everything stripped from him, all of his goods, his family, his health, everything was gone. Those three friends who came to comfort him in his suffering, they sat there for 7 days and did not speak a word. That was a sign of identification, empathy, sympathizing with the sufferer. The scripture there in Job chapter 2 says, "So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Those were the three friends of Job. So Ezekiel, he comes to Tel Aviv, and he sits where the captive sat, and he sits there 7 days. He identifies with them. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he identified with those he came to save. This is what we read in Hebrews chapter 2. The apostle said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, the eternal Son of God, inasmuch as the children who were given unto him in that everlasting covenant, inasmuch as we were flesh and blood, he did not take upon him the nature of an angel." An angel is a spirit, a pure spirit. And those angels that fail, that disobeyed God, God provided no Savior for them, but for man, you and I. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." He became a man. And he did so, the apostle said, "that through death, his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Remember in 1 John we read, "For the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." To do that, he had to become a man. He identified with those he came to save. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Now the fourth thing that we see here, he was made a watchman unto the house of Israel. Notice that in verse 17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Now Ezekiel, he didn't make himself a watchman. This is important. Only God makes a preacher. Seminaries, colleges, Bible schools, all of the many things that men have come up with to help men, no doubt about that. But in the end, only God makes a preacher. Only God. God told him, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman." He didn't volunteer to be a watchman. He didn't sit in some evangelistic service and they sing 15 verses of "Just as I Am" without one plea, and they can't get anybody down the aisle for any other thing. They get them down to surrender for missionary work or a preacher or something like that. No. He didn't make himself a watchman. He didn't surrender to be a watchman. God said, "I have made thee a watchman." You know, it's interesting to me in reading books that are written by men of this day, how often they will say, "God ask." God ask. I read the other day one who said, "God asked Abram to leave Ur of the Chaldees." Now, my Bible doesn't read like that. Does yours? My Bible tells me, God said, "Get thee out from among thy kinsmen." God called Abram. God made Ezekiel a prophet. He didn't make himself one. And he had more to do than to empathize with these captives. He was to be a watchman to warn them. To warn them. Notice verse 17. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. This was his charge. He was to hear God's word from God and warn the nation of Israel. Notice in verse 18, God speaking, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Does that sound familiar? You ever heard that before? Ever read that before? Thou shalt surely die? We know God spoke those words to Adam when he placed him in the garden. And he commanded him not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God hasn't changed. Millenniums have gone on between Adam and Ezekiel. But God hasn't changed. And let me tell us all this again. He's not going to change. And sin brings death. When Adam disobeyed God, in that very day, he died as God told him he would. He died spiritually. That relationship which he had enjoyed with God was now severed. We know after several hundred years, he died physically. And he became liable to eternal death immediately. Ezekiel, nothing's changed. The wages of sin is still death. It hasn't changed. Hasn't changed in our day, has it? Don't you love that verse in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 where Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but... That's what we've worked for. That's what we've earned, all of us. Death. The wages of sin is death. But, not the wages, but the gift. The free grace gift. The gift of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the person and work, through the sacrifice and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, God now gives eternal life. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right to be called the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. So, let me read on through these verses, but we see this is what took place when Ezekiel was at Tel Abib. Those four things I point out to us. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. There are those who appear to be righteous. It's easy outwardly to appear to be righteous and not be righteous. The righteousness of God's people is the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness that is imputed, that is charged to our account. That's the only righteousness that justifies before God. And that righteousness is called the righteousness of God because Jesus Christ is God. And He obeyed. His righteous obedience becomes our righteousness, those of us who trust in Him, who believe in Him. And that righteousness can never be revoked. We know that's so. Now notice the second location in verses 22 and 23. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and He said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain. Now, he was in Tel Aviv, and God sends him out to the plain, out on the prairie, I might say, something we might understand better. And Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Ezekiel, he's back on his face. He's back on his face. We saw that last time, didn't we? He was on his face before God. And I'll just say that this is where the grace of God puts all of those that He saves. He puts us not necessarily physically, but spiritually on our face before God, recognizing our unworthiness, His holiness. Ezekiel in the plain is back on his face before God. I asked that question last time. Let me ask it again. Have you ever been on your face before God? Well, I know this. If you've ever been on your face before God the first time, you're going to be on your face before God many times as long as you continue in this world. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You have anything to brag about? You have anything to pat yourself on the back about? Are you still poor in spirit? If He makes you poor in spirit, you are. Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. Proud, haughty, self-sufficient, don't need anyone. I can always take care of myself. I'll do it my way. No, there's no blessing upon that person. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn over our sinfulness. We still have that old nature, don't we? We mourn. We would live without any sin. That which we would do, we find we don't do. And that which we would not do, many times, that's what we do. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, to be righteous, to be like Christ. That was Paul's desire, wasn't it? That I might know Him, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And notice it says, they shall be filled. I love the Beatitudes, don't you? Ezekiel's on his face again before God. Now let me point two things out to us. We might naturally expect now that Ezekiel's going to hear this. Here he is out in the plain. Ezekiel, Go, preach to this great assembly. But that's not what he heard. Notice what he heard. Ezekiel. The Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. Didn't expect to hear that. Didn't expect to read that, did you? That's what God told him. Get in the house. Shut yourself up in the house. God is teaching him, and God teaches all those that he calls and puts into the ministry. Our strength must come from him. Get alone with God. Alone with him, hearing his word and receiving strength from him. And God told Ezekiel, don't you expect any encouragement from the Israelites. It's going to be like Ezekiel. They're going to put bands on you. Notice that in verse 25. But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. They would not literally bind Ezekiel, but their conduct, their attitude would have that effect upon this prophet of binding him, discouraging him in the work. And the second thing I point out in closing, Ezekiel must take comfort in knowing this, that in hearing God's word and speaking God's word, it will never be in vain. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen to you. But Ezekiel, you hear the word in my mouth and you speak that word. God's word is never in vain. Just like he told Isaiah, his word is like the rain that comes down and it produces, brings forth fruit. And he told Isaiah, my word, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. When we preach the word of God, hear the word at his mouth, and speak the word of God, we have this assurance, this confidence. It's not going to be in vain. It's going to accomplish that which God pleases. Well, I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us here today. Someone asked me after the message last Sunday morning if I would be preaching through the book of Ezekiel, and I said no. So much of the book, I do want to bring some more messages from the book, but so much of the book is taken up with the Israelites in captivity and what they would experience in captivity and going back into the land of Israel after the captivity was ended. I pray the Lord would bless the message to all of us here today.